19. Miracles abound. You are surrounded by miracles. As we read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we are constantly witnessing Jesus' miracles, turning water into wine, healing the sick, making the blind see, making the lame walk, casting out demons, feeding thousands with scraps, raising people from the dead, calming storms, walking on water, and making the deaf hear, to name but a few. What are your favorite miracles of Jesus? If you could perform one of them, which would you choose? And why? Ask a bunch of college kids, and they will choose changing water into wine. But ask the mother of a chronically sick child, and she will choose to heal her daughter. Miracles are radical by their very nature, and so we shouldn't be surprised that they play a central role in Jesus' ministry. His miracles combined every aspect of his radical nature. But in another sense, his miracles were ordinary. They were simple and practical, like his teachings. They were of real service to people, not just spectacular for the sake of being spectacular. They required no great effort. They were simply an extension of who he was. They were never performed for show or out of any ego need. Making the lame walk, giving sight to the blind, setting captives free, these were all radical. Forgiving people's sins, even more radical. And these were just everyday aspects of Jesus' life. It is easy to fall into the trap of placing these miracles in a far-off place with people you never knew. But they are also here and now. It's a miracle that he forgives our sins, even though he knows we will sin again. Would you forgive someone if you knew he or she was going to do it again? Part of Jesus' invitation is to bring the miracle of his love to others. I have a friend who has had a very difficult life. A few years ago, I noticed something that had been in front of me my whole life, but I had never connected the dots. Anytime we go to a social gathering of any type, he ends up spending the majority of his time at that event with the most unlikely person. When I became conscious of it, I asked him about it. He explained to me that he has suffered a lot in his life, and as a result, he can tell when someone else is suffering. I probed a little bit further, and this is what he said. When I go into any room, I look for the person who is suffering the most, and I just try to ease their pain in whatever way I can. I have seen this friend participate in everyday miracles with this one simple approach, which it seems to me comes straight out of the gospel. But when most people walk into a room, they look for the people they will most enjoy speaking with, the people they want favors from, or whomever it is socially advantageous to be seen with. Jesus didn't do this. Like my friend, it seems Jesus looked around the room and sought out the person most in pain or most in need. The Gospels invite us to do small things with great love. Think of all the prayers people pray every day. Only a very small number of those prayers require God's direct involvement and intervention. Ordinary people like you and me can answer most prayers. If we would just learn to recognize people's needs and pain, there are so many prayers that God wants to use us to answer. Too many go unanswered because ordinary people, like you and me, don't allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. Point to ponder. God wants to see your amazingness. Verse to live. The one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. In fact, will do greater works than these. John chapter 14, verse 12. Question to consider. Whose prayer can you be the answer to today? prayer. Jesus, teach me to recognize the opportunity for everyday miracles.